Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
It is September 2018.
Are you recording already? Is this happening?
We are already recording. We are at EGX. We are in Jury's Hotel in Broad Street in Birmingham. And I have a motley crew of people around this wonderful table that we have stolen from the hotel. Kidnap seats and doing things that we're not supposed to be doing. But we're doing it anyway. So this is our yearly podcast for a wrap-up of the EGX Gaming Expo. We're going around the table. We have Pete, shout out. Pete.
Hello.
That's the real Chinny. We have Chris from the Boss Wave podcast.
Yup.
Antonio and Andy from Yup.
Hello.
Joshua Tate, he is on Tech Specs. He's running the Dex, as we call it tonight. Stu and Mike from Veteran Gamers.
Hello.
Boom. And Kyle, of course, from the Entertain Nerds.
Good evening.
I'm on there too.
And Antonio's on there as well.
Yeah, that's because you just get around.
So what day is today? Today is Saturday. I've been here since yesterday morning. Most of us have got sort of 2 days in the show now. General impressions, I suppose, going around the table, starting off with our grand master of podcasting, Stu Fowler. What is your Mr. Positivity himself? What did you think of the show?
I thought it was all right. I think every year there's less games that are coming out like next year. Every year, it just seems with all the games they're like they had massive stand for Spider-Man.
Yeah,
and it's like that's out already. Even
I agree.
Yes, Chinny agrees.
Yeah,
yeah. It just seems not that it was disappointing as such, but I just wish there was more stuff that we're not going to see for ages.
It does seem like a bigger hall. I mean, the hall is full of stuff,
yeah.
But it's spread out. But at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the back of the hall is packed with people today, and the front of the hall is packed. So there seems to be more people.
It was busy. It was sold out today. It was sold out.
But there seems to be things that are missing, dramatically missing.
Yeah,
like Battlefield 5, yeah, Forza Horizon 4, a big stand for FIFA, no Microsoft really on show here at all.
Yeah, which was a bit odd.
There was other stuff that's coming out very soon,
Just Cause
4, which is soon to come.
There was videos of it.
The videos of it, but you know,
not the actual game.
There wasn't much razzmatazz.
Videos.
Yeah,
I think what was interesting for me, and I said this to Mike yesterday, like when we first started coming, it was all about the games. It's like, right, we need to make a list. These are the games we need to get played. Then we need to talk about them on the podcast and all that kind of stuff. And over the years, that's kind of changed from that to more of a community get together, really, and less about the games and more about just hanging out and having a laugh. Yeah, yeah. Sausage Fest.
Well, I just, if I can do a little sideways sort of thing here, step, is when you'd mentioned bumming.
Tangent.
Yeah.
So last night I had to, I shared a room with Chris, who slept at the foot of my bed.
Yeah.
Like a little dog. Yeah.
He sort of tossed me a biscuit every now and then.
And
it's not the only thing he tossed off.
Something that.
He means penis.
Something that I never ever thought would ever happen in my life before was Dorian Parsnip Nose.
Yeah.
Shared a bed.
Got into my bed. I said, you
did you offer or did he just slip in there?
He got underneath the covers. I kind of expected him to sleep on top of the covers, but he actually did.
Yeah, but that's not a big deal. You're a man. You're comfortable.
Naked?
You're comfortable. Oh. Were you fully naked?
Well, no, I had a t-shirt on, but you know.
Semi.
Well, no boxes.
I bet he had a semi.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I'm so concerned. Land there in the middle of the night. Woke up about 4 o'clock in the morning going, oh, EMH. What are you doing? Anyway, it was an odd experience sharing
it. Did he touch at all? Was there any touch?
It was.
Did you wake up spooning?
I did have the flashbacks to that movie, Trains, Planes, and Automobiles.
Yeah.
Where's your man? Between two pillows. Oh, yeah.
You can tell the sheer shit, because we're talking about the night before the show.
But it's funny, I like the bumming, not the show.
Well, that was the best bit of the show.
It was.
To be honest.
We have had
the queue was massive.
Well, one thing as well, One thing as well, I mean, you weren't here yesterday.
I was not.
No, I missed
and
it.
And this man here, Stu Farler, yeah, Mike Chin was not here yesterday, but Stu played more games in one day.
It's true.
Than he ever did.
Mike's
probably
distracted.
Today, far, far more.
Tomorrow, when I'll be on my own,
yes.
I will play more games.
That's what happens, that's what you do.
Yeah. I didn't play a single game until about 3 o'clock this afternoon when Bongo said,
"Let's go!
We're going to play some fucking games because we're going to talk about something tonight." And I was like, "Well, I'm not sure I need to play anything, you know."
So, Pete, you're new to this here. This is the first time you've done this here
in this new face-to-face.
So, what did you think of EGX?
I thought it was really good. I enjoyed it, but I'm a fresher. Yeah. So, yeah, maybe you guys are a little bit bored of seeing the same type thing, and you analyse the games that are coming out, and you know that they're probably already out and or close after the EGX date they're going to be released. But it's a first for me, so I enjoyed it. I enjoyed playing games that I wouldn't usually play. Plus, I've experienced the PlayStation 4 VR as well. Me and Antonio had a session on VR, so I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought it was great. Just too short-lived. I think I'll come for the full show next time.
So it's about 8 years, I think, or 9 years I've been coming to this now.
Yeah, it's a long time.
London 2009 was
maybe we were first.
We came. Yeah,
that's probably why we're losing a little bit of interest.
2012, 2011, I think you two started coming.
Yeah. 2011, I think, was probably the first year I came.
2010.
Maybe it's fatigue.
London. Yeah.
I think so. I don't think it's necessarily a bad show. I think it's probably that.
I don't think it's necessarily, but I think it's become so commercialised now and such a money spinner. I mean,
yeah, it was cool when it was commercialised, man.
But yeah, that is true, though.
It's true. But the thing for me is that it hasn't changed. When we first came, I was never really here to play the Assassin's Creed and the games the big games that are coming out. I was here to try out indie games and all the weird little games that you wouldn't really know if they're any good, you know, to have a look over someone's shoulder and go, "Oh, that looks cool," and then so when it comes out, you've got a bit of an idea of what you're going to get. You know, a lot of these games are a known quantity. You know, I've never wanted to stand in a 3-hour queue to play Call of Duty because I know what Call of Duty plays like, and if I can look at it and go, "Yeah, that's more Call of Duty." And the same with most of these games. So, I don't think it's changed. It's just that we've changed.
We've changed.
No, the show has changed. I mean, you look at
it
as well. I mean, how much floor space there is to board games now.
I mean, they've done away with the adults only section completely. You know, that was kind of a staple for a long time.
Yeah,
and that's gone now, and they just have 18 only, and it's closed off.
They were enforcing that today on Call of Duty stand, which is odd because they asked Josh for his ID, and he quite. Yeah, here it is, bitch.
I am 3 hours over.
But the only problem with that is if you wanted to have a look at an over 18 game, just to stand and watch the screen.
Yeah, we used to do that.
You can't really
do
that any longer.
But then to be fair, there isn't really much that I want to have a look at.
Yeah, okay, so let's get to that. So every year there would usually be a killer app. Aliens, Colonial Marines.
Yeah.
Let's name a few other ones.
Evolve.
But they're as bad as they turned out to be, those were things that we were excited about.
There isn't that game that you just, I've got to
play. Oh, yeah,
well,
yeah.
Metro Exodus was a little bit like that for me, but then
I didn't even see.
I didn't think the demo was that great.
It was all right.
But it gave you a taste of what
was
to come.
But it's
going to
be a good story
back
game
in the day,
with great graphics.
That Metro Exodus would have been like a B tier of game I've got to play. There was always that big one, like Evolve.
And I think also, there's a sort of that feeling that you kind of got to play these games so that you can do a podcast like this podcast you're listening to now, where you get to hear about these hot new games that aren't out yet. Oh, what's the new Mass Effect going to be like? We've played it and it's
really do that anymore.
Well, yeah, they're not new games, or you know, we just
they're not like the only like Metro is probably one of the few games that's not coming out till early next year is one of the few games that we can say you played it.
Because we used to come to this show to play games that were 6 months ahead, a year ahead, so we could talk about it for the podcast.
Yeah.
Whereas the show feels like it's more for your average Joe who probably doesn't have a fucking podcast and they just want to play what's out.
But even how things have changed, like with the press passes, because we've had those for like since the second time
which
we came.
Do nothing more than that.
And
I've asked for multiple blowjobs.
And in the first
you're
few times
wrong
we
people,
came.
Mike.
I can't go into it.
We used to, the press passes got you in half an hour before anybody else.
Oh, and not now, no?
No, you have to go in with everyone else. But yeah, you used to get in half an hour sooner, so you had at least half an hour to go and play at least one other game. There's not even like a fast pass queuing system or some way that, you know, you get advantages. And I'm not saying
that we
should
do. I'm Mark Chin.
Yeah, do you know who I am?
Yeah, but where's the real Chin?
Me and Tom Campion are like that.
I feel flat about this year's show. I remember last year we came off the show on a real high because there was a big Microsoft, big PlayStation, there was some big hidden games out there, and it just feels pretty generic. You know?
The show is a distraction from just meeting all you guys.
Yeah, it is. It's just a reason to meet up, isn't it, really?
Yeah,
have
so
fun.
So let's not get it wrong. Let's not say, you know, the show is bad. The show is good. And we'll get to that now. The show's good, but there's more and more community folk coming here, and the get together last night, which we'll touch on, it was heartwarming how many people were at that last night, and I think it's going to build year on year from it. So okay, let's get to some of the games. So I think we'll talk about the things that and there is one game that a good majority of us have played and we're quite excited about, and a friend of ours,
the wonderful I Pete with the God of War beard.
I Pete,
what a man!
Yeah,
that is a man, right?
A
there.
Man among men. You know,
that is a man.
And
when he holds like an ordinary object, he makes the object look tiny.
Yeah,
everything is just enormous, isn't he? I mean, in a good way.
He's not fat. He's just huge.
And he's the nicest man as well. I've forgotten. He makes
Chinny look small, and that's saying something.
Okay, so it's called Catastronauts.
That's
I think I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Yep.
And how he describes it is, if FTL and Overcooked had a baby, this is what it would be.
It's fantastic.
So it looks like Overcooked. Yep. It plays like Overcooked, maybe a little harder.
A bit like Love is a Dangerous Space Time as well.
Yes, very good. But you're in space in a spaceship, and you have to do spaceship things like fire lasers at a ship that's attacking you.
Put batteries in, repair things.
When you go on fire, you have fire extinguisher.
The solar flare.
And the solar flare is
that's
my
great.
Favourite.
That's a great.
Thing. Yeah.
Because when we played it, so there's a room that protects you from solar flares, and you have to run to the room, and there's a solar flare coming, and you can lock
it. And you have like 30 seconds.
You've got to close the door, and if the door's not closed, everybody dies. So.
And I forgot who, I think it was Phil.
Me. I got left behind twice.
Oh, was it you left behind? No, I wasn't playing with you.
No, but
Phil C got left behind. He went, let me in. So I opened the door, all right, and everybody dies. So it's so funny.
We all burnt.
It's pretty cool.
It's one of the, you know what, it reminded me of Aliens. Not Aliens, Colonial Marines. But Aliens.
You love that game, though.
Yeah,
that's why you keep bringing it up.
So where Ripley rushes in to get into the safe thing to close the door of the aliens.
Yeah.
And it's that sort of suspense, like, oh, yeah.
Oh, and if you're listening, IP, just a little tip. It's called Catastronauts. It's an excellent pun. But if they were cats as well, it would be
cat
immense.
Even better.
Catastrophe.
Catastronauts. Imagine if they were cats.
Yeah, but they were cats.
And it was a catastrophe.
Are you sure
and
they're not?
They're astronauts.
Are you sure they're not cats?
Well, these don't have any ears. All you've got to do is put some ears on. I mean, I'm no developer, that's not going to happen.
That's a little patch. That's a little patch.
You just save the file and then add ears.
Add ears. Yeah, that's how it works. I think developing does.
It's just a little bit
print.
Script.
Yeah. Okay, so Catastronauts comes out next week on everything apart from Switch, when it will hopefully come out on Switch by the end of the year. God bless them. The only thing, the only crack in this wonderful looking game is it is couch co-op only.
Yeah,
I
said that.
Which is Overcooked again.
Yeah.
So, but it looks fabby.
I hope that does well because it deserves it.
And it comes at a good price as well. Apparently, it's around £12 or £13. So
yeah,
he's not giving us any royalties for this at all. Just saying, it we do actually genuinely just.
I do.
Like,
yeah, I do think
that's what I said. I was like, thank God it's good.
We might
because, like, then we'd have to all lie to Pete and go, oh yeah, that's a great game.
I do think the missing online is a missed opportunity though, because I do feel like if it had online as well, that would be perfect.
For a small team
too.
Though, that's
yeah.
It's finding friends though, because we're all friends, but we game together, but we're miles apart. You know,
and that's where games like Evolve fell down, because it was so much fun to play with a group of us that time was brilliant, but then you had to try and gather five people and it was bad.
Yeah, anyway, online play, like,
Overcooked did really well even without that, so
my name is Robin.
Hello.
Alright, so what we're going to do is around Robin.
Hey.
And what we're going to do is we're going to pick one game, Robin Bongo. What we're going to do is do a game that we've played that we kind of like. Hopefully, we'll find enough to get right around the whole table.
And I'm going to start here, and we're going to go Pete. Joshua's not going to, because he's shy. I don't understand. He wants to be the man behind the mic, but we'll go from Joshua over Andy and work our way around. So the first thing that I want to mention is a game called Beyond Blue. So Beyond Blue is made by the developers of Never Alone, Issey Miyake, about the little snow fox and the little girl up in the Arctic or Antarctic. And what it's like Abzu, under the water, diving, and you're swimming along, doing things, different tasks. There's good audio in it. It's beautiful. Where Abzu was quite cartoony, this is really looks like real life. And the real thing where it ties in with the Never Alone thing is that it's been made in conjunction with the BBC.
Yeah, I don't know whether you know, I interviewed him today, the developer.
It's made in conjunction with the BBC.
I was only going to say,
the Blue Planet documentary.
Him, though, the BBC.
Oh, very
came
good.
To him.
Excellent.
Did that, really? I was only adding a point.
Okay. No, I didn't know that. Never Alone, after each level or so you can unlock a documentary section.
That's correct, yeah.
So they approached him and they thought, what?
They asked him to develop the game. So they came to the BBC, came and said, we've seen Never Alone, we played the game and we really loved it. And we're doing Blue Planet 2 at the moment, and we'd like to use some of the unused footage and make a game around it. Yeah. That's so fabulous. That's how it happened.
So did you like it then?
I thought it was ace. I thought
the glutes on the diver were the best glutes. They should win the award for the best glutes of the show.
Good ass.
Yeah,
nice ass.
Really, really
nice
good.
Nice sort of Tron looking ass.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm interested now. So, see, Stu went in with the wrong thing.
I did.
Yeah.
The developer of Never Alone, Robin said, nice
glutes.
Ass.
Nice yeah. ass.
So that was me. That was the game that I really liked out
that
of here.
That was probably my game as well.
Yeah, it was good.
So, Pete.
Thanks, Robin. I played Arca's Path. It's a VR game, and it's developed by Rebellion. And Rebellion have also developed games.
I'm looking at the list of all the games that are here, and it's not on the list. It didn't exist. Are you sure you're not having one of your episodes?
It was in Res.
Honestly, I turned up, and there it is. Look, I got the photo.
Okay,
just to prove it.
Okay. Right. It was developed by Rebellion, and they developed the Sniper Elite series. Apparently, just looking at my phone, mm-hmm. and it's a VR game.
They're British, aren't they?
Yeah. They
yeah. Mm. It's a VR game. We just stumbled across it, me and Antonio, and it was a short queue, so we just thought we'd give it a go. So with the VR headset, you're basically controlling the movement of a ball around a maze with your head. And it's as simple as that. So it's a little bit like your
head the ball.
It's a little bit like, you know, the Apple the tablet games where you've got this ball and you're controlling it. You're basically like a maze game and you're running the ball all the way along these little tracks and you can't slip off the edges. It's a little bit like that, but you're controlling the ball with your head.
Oh, madness!
And it's pretty cool.
What actions do you have to do to head the ball when you have the head
it's
on?
Very.
I mean, what shapes? The things did you have to do?
It's very slight movement, so you're basically
point where it goes.
Yeah.
And then how far the arrow is to the ball is how fast it will go. So if you want it to stop, you have to look at the ball. And if you want it to go left, you look a bit to the left.
It's kind of like a sort of bobbing head blowjob motion.
You don't do that.
Yeah.
It's a bit of that. So
no,
a bit more avant-garde.
You don't feel like a complete idiot.
Yeah,
playing this game.
It looks like one.
Yeah. I don't know. The movement is really slight. It's sensitive, isn't it?
Yeah,
but it's really good, and you can stop the ball. And I found that the controls are so cool, and you could stop the ball when you wanted to. And it was really slick. I like the sounds.
Is this your first VR proper?
No,
experience?
Second, because I played at the Bury.
Robot Recall.
Yeah, Robot
Recall.
Okay,
okay.
But, I've never played. I think it was it PlayStation VR.
Yes, VR. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've never played on that before, and I thought that was pretty cool. I thought it was a good game.
So what was it called again, sorry?
Arca's Path.
Arca's Path. Okay, well, there's one to have a look. If you have a
PSVR.
Check it out.
Or Vive or HTC or Oculus.
So if you have a VR headset, check it out.
Yeah really cool.
Yeah, cool. Andy, what do you got?
Oh, boy. So you have to bear in mind, I
barely played anything throughout the entire day, which is why I'm going to bring.
Sake, Andy.
Which is why I'm going to bring up Call of Duty Black Ops 4, because I know a number of people on this table have played it.
You played What the Golf?
Oh yeah,
and that was class.
Everybody,
calm down.
And then
I have rectified the situation. I've also lost my pick. So
calm down, Call of Duty. You think
you're still not going to find out
what the golf?
Thank you for giving me your pick. What the Golf is a golf game.
Yeah, slow down.
What the, sorry, is it What the Gov?
What's the Golf? Is in
What the Golf? What
yes.
the fuck?
It's okay. So it was in the Left Field collection. It was all right.
He's going to ask you girls and go back to Black Ops. But we're not allowed to eat in here, apparently.
Oh yeah, now they bought it for
we
us.
We are.
Yeah.
Verbal contract. We are.
All right. Yeah. You're
on time.
Yeah.
I'm recording chicken.
Yeah. Yeah. One here. One here.
That's
and food has arrived. So we're going to eat and podcast. I hope you don't mind. On here, thank
There's
you.
The people that switch right off now.
Yeah, we're going to get
chicken. Oh yeah, so I've got a beautiful chicken burger.
Mexican burger. Who
ordered
the fully loaded?
Sorry.
They have the pulled pork for it now. So.
Oh, cool. Excellent.
That's
Peter's got us pulled pork.
Pete, you got to give them nuts back.
Oh yeah.
Can I have the things that I want
you very much? This looks fantastic. Oh yeah, that's a pizza and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
What the Golf?
Yeah. What the Golf?
That's for you.
Are we going to keep going?
Yeah.
We're gonna see how many times we can say What the Golf before it gets.
You can't cope with chewing them. Like yourself.
We're going to get distracted because there's food involved.
Yeah, so
it makes it more casual, to be fair, though, because before we were all quite stilted like this, writing down our notes. Now it's a bit more casual.
Hmm. Right.
Even though you've got to watch out for your drinks.
What the Golf?
Yeah, what the Golf? What is the Golf?
What the Golf, Andy?
What is
it? So it was on
the scratch.
Andy, what's it called again, please?
Yeah, what is it?
Golf. It's called What the Golf?
All right, give him a chance. Come on. All right.
Okay, so it was rather short, and he's in the Left Field collection. But it was basically just aim the ball, get it in the hole in various different ways as golf.
Is it like mini golf or proper golf? Or
well, that's the thing. It's more. It adds in some silly elements, a lot of comedy.
There's like cars and stuff in it as well.
Yeah, there was cars in it. At one point, it makes you play as a football to try and get in the goal, and then it just out of nowhere just like you think you're kicking the ball, and it throws the goal instead, and you get the goal.
So it's like wacky golf.
The actual
golf. Yeah,
I know what it is. Yeah, you instead of a ball, it's like throwing objects and stuff. Oh
yeah,
yes.
I almost
backed this on some funding thing.
Kickstarter.
No, like it's the one where you get shares for it.
Okay, fuck me. Oh, Indiegogo.
Indiegogo. where you invest? Shit, I'm glossing out. Where you invest shares in it, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I know,
you
yeah,
invest
yeah.
in the game and you profit
then
from it.
Yeah, yeah.
I almost did that with
all
the golf.
Check out the businessman. Check out the almost businessman in the corner.
Almost.
Oh, yeah.
Then I went, nah.
That's
kind of
shit.
Yeah. That's
terrible. Microsoft company, it'll never take off.
Microsoft. Apple.
Yeah,
they don't make
any
money.
Apple.
World of
Oh, yeah, there's a sandwich somewhere.
Ham sandwich, that's me.
Ham sandwich over here, and there's another pizza here.
Brilliant.
Pizza?
Food delivery.
Cheers,
yeah. Pizza.
Yeah, that's my pizza, I think, probably.
Pizza here.
Yep.
Excellent.
There you go.
Thank you so
much. You want to bring some napkins as well?
And some sauce, maybe?
Yeah, I guess
you can. I like this.
Awesome.
I like you. This is great. Thank you. Sorry, I've just been my American, but
yeah,
that sounded like. Hello, Cindy.
This is so good.
That's a letter to America.
This is the best podcast I've ever done.
A little indie game. When's it come out?
I have no clue.
It's on Steam right now.
Oh, okay.
It didn't really get scrubbed too well. Here's how I'd sum up like a couple of words.
Oh, okay. Antonio was going to tell us how it is.
It was a bit. I'd say it. Think WarioWare, but with golf, because every time it's different, but you have the same element of trying to get the ball somewhere.
Is it short sections like WarioWare, or is it
short
longer?
Sections, yeah.
Okay.
Each has done like 15 seconds tops.
Okay.
And it was kind of like, correct me if I'm wrong, it was kind of, it could look like, what's that bloody game where you're crossing the road?
Crossy road.
Fucking hell, it is.
Yeah.
It's those
Frogger.
Now it's that kind of graphics, isn't it?
You're a star.
Thank you. Jillian, would you like to say hello to everybody?
Sorry.
Say hello. To
you're alive on a podcast. It's fun.
Say hello, Jillian.
Hello.
Fantastic servstress.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Mike, who's cutting up his pepperoni pizza.
Hold on. So you don't want to talk about Call of Duty then?
Okay, we didn't play Call of Duty.
Right, I have one question. Was it Blackout or was it multiplayer?
It was multiplayer.
So yeah. The most fun that I had with Call of Duty was in the 2 minutes we were waiting for it to start. I was using the headset microphones to
I thought it was an announcer like who was like talking about like
you are the
okay, I'm going to talk you through the game, and I was like, that sounds like Robin.
Yeah, so I had some fun,
but
before
me and Phil passed you the fucking mail.
I mean, that's totally
and me and Phil was on a team separate to you guys playing against you with three blokes.
Shut the fuck up.
Shit, with
right.
I was talking. Kylie, shut up. Doesn't matter if you talk at all. You picked up.
Yes, he does pick up all. Trust me.
So like the we was playing with three blokes and they were really into Call of Duty and they was like, let's go, you know, in the tournaments where they go, let's go, come on. And I knew who they're playing, you know, like you and like, you know, they're taking it seriously, like it's a tournament.
Are you saying I'm a really bad
basically
Call of Duty?
Bongo's just staring at the sky, spinning in circles.
Yeah,
like,
oh, is
what?
It,
how do you point down?
And they're going, let's go.
I do recall them doing that at one point. I mean, so.
Yeah. There you go.
But yeah, it got incredibly confusing at one point because I could hear them on the other side of the wall, and they were coming through on our mics. So we thought that they were also in chat to us.
Yeah.
And we were real confused because all we heard was like shouting.
Yeah, we were terrible. I had Kate beside me giggling away at stuff I was saying, so she was having a great time. Okay, so it's been a long time since I played a Call of Duty game, modern.
Yep.
And maybe once before at EGX, queuing for one. But it was good. It still has that magic, and with a bunch of buddies.
Buddies.
So Chrissy's getting
with
naked.
A bunch of nipples, buddies. It would be good fun. I would not want to play with random strangers. I wouldn't. I like some of the animations where you watch some of your other soldiers running towards you I've really moved on since I've played it before, but it's still Call of Duty. You know, it's the same thing. It could do with a year off.
Exactly. Yeah.
You look at the biggest game at EGX this year was Fortnite. It had more screen space than any other game on that show. From front, back, sideways, everywhere. And Call of Duty was about
the shortest wait I have ever had for Call of Duty. It was only half an hour.
About a third of the size that it would normally be.
Yeah.
And it was about 40 minutes in the middle of the day to play Call of Duty, which is it's unheard of.
Wow.
So,
do they normally show the single player campaign of Call of Duty?
No.
Last time they did that was Infinite Warfare, sorry.
So, sometimes they usually have screens at the side which will show a mission while you're in the line.
Oh, no, that's not remembering. Sorry, yeah.
And then you'll know like the first mission off by heart.
Am I going to play it?
The game isn't even out.
No. And I reinstalled Modern Warfare 2 now that it's backwards compatible, my favourite Call of Duty game. And that's as much fun as I'm going to need out of it. So.
Fair enough.
Good. Mike.
All right. I played a game. Now, usually, Stuart is the one that picks the weird games.
Oh.
However,
W-A-F.
I have a soft spot for Media Molecule. The people that made Little Big Planet.
You're not going to say this.
I bought a PS3 for Little Big Planet back in the day.
You're not going to say that. You just did this game.
And I'm very interested in the game Dreams.
Oh my god.
Not because of like the...
You say one thing, Mike Chen, and you completely mean another.
I never say one thing and mean my mother, right? So the game is like a game where you create your own shit. So like there's like a few mini games on there, and they was all created by the developers of Media Molecule on their day off. So one was a text adventure, one was a platformer, one was a ship shooter thing. There's other things as well. There's one game, it was called Hug Me, and it was this little character, and he just needed a hug, and no one would hug him. It was heartbreaking.
Can you get a wet dream out of it?
I hope so. I'll work on that, Chris. And I, you know, as a married man now, as a married man now, I don't find the time to do these things, but I'm really interested in creating like something cool. Like I want to create like something funny or
like a penis level,
like a massive cock level. No, but I want to create like a comedy game, like something funny. And I've always wanted to do that, or like a comedy, like a short or something like that. And I want to do it in Dreams.
There's a lot of tools to do that, and you could do it in a million different ways, couldn't you? You could come up with an idea, and you could do it in 20 different ways, and but, it would be.
Yeah, I think the good thing about this differentiating from Little Big Planet was Little Big Planet, even though you could create a lot of different genres of game, they were always Little Big Planet. Still the style.
It had its limitations.
Yeah, it had a lot. I think this is going to be a far more versatile platform to do that on.
But every game you played, so everything was different, wasn't it? It was all like a text adventure, it was a platform. It's a creation tool. It's a cool creation tool. It's, you know, the tools are really like easy access. You can make stuff. And I feel like I've got the inkling to make something in it. So not so much the playing of it, but it's just making something cool.
When this game was
as a married person, that's what I'm on. That's what I'm about.
Well, you have that experience now.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. Do anybody know that I'm married now? I don't like to talk about it.
So when that game was first announced, was it not very abstract and obscure?
Was there something about a guy? It was very difficult to tell what it was and what it
would
do.
Like a grander in a big rocking chair or something like that.
But that was just something that someone made.
Right.
So it wasn't a really good. I mean, like
they didn't explain what it was.
No, very good. It was like a short film that was.
But it's hard to describe. If they just come out and said, "Yeah, you can basically make anything in it," and like people go, "Well, you do that in Minecraft."
The thing is, if you give somebody a blank canvas, it's really hard to come up with an idea of what that is. But so people,
I know what a blank canvas is.
No, but like, I'll make something. Here's a blank canvas, and they're like, what?
But if you've got a film noir setting, or like they've got various themes that you can work with to start with.
And I think if you play a few things, get a few inspirations, and then try and work out what you want to say. I'm just really interested in making something.
What was kind of interesting talking to the creative director today? He was saying was that those levels that are there will ship with the game, and you can dismantle them and adapt them and change them to whatever you want.
Work out how they did that.
Even if you don't want to create something from scratch, he said you can dismantle other people's levels and adapt them to whatever you want to make. So he said, but they learned a lot of lessons from Little Big Planet on how to make it as accessible as possible for people to use and to also be able to create.
You know what's going to happen? You know, the 1% of people that can make something really, really good are going to, and we'll benefit from that. Like Little Big Planet, when you see all the user created stuff, it was amazing the stuff people did.
I'm surprised myself.
Oh wow, Antonio.
Yes.
What do you think?
I'm looking at my list. I've played a lot.
Okay.
And I think I only can definitely say I really enjoyed one.
Wow.
Which was Metro.
Oh,
and even then, it wasn't as good as I thought, but then again, I'll get on to it. So, I love Metro for its atmosphere and its aesthetic.
And you look at that Myers in a different way, you know, being a film creator, do you look at it at a different angle now when you're looking at these games?
Sometimes, but I don't let that affect me.
Okay.
I mean, if it's done well, I will appreciate the game more. Like when I played A Way Out, I appreciate that a lot more. Have any of you played that?
Yeah.
Do you know about the hospital scene?
Yeah, I love it.
I think that's amazing.
Brilliant.
But yeah, Metro. I just liked it for a survivalist aspect because I noticed, Carl, you played it, and it doesn't really tell you what to do, which can be a deficit, and I think in your case it probably was.
You see, I think what was a disappointment for me from the earlier Metro games is when you went above ground, it was kind of a lot of tension and sort of air filters and make sure you didn't die and get back to like the underground bits again.
It sort of felt today a bit like it could have been Horizon Zero Dawn, it could have been any of those.
Because of the setting.
Mm.
And that's kind of what I wasn't as keen on.
Yeah. So, you know, Metro is it. Have you read the Metro books?
No, but I have them on Audible. But no, I do want to listen to them because apparently they're awesome. But yeah, Metro for me.
Girls.
I keep on eating my pizza funny and they laugh.
Exactly.
It doesn't take much for people. You make people laugh.
I'm sorry.
He's been doing this the entire time.
I'm sorry.
Would you like to leave the room for 5 minutes, please? That's punishment.
Yeah.
Okay, Kyle. You've been drinking a lot.
Yeah, more drinking than games played.
So, was there anything out there that struck a chord?
I spent a little bit of time in Nintendo. went and played Smash Brothers and the new, what is it, Mario, Super Mario Party. Their just new version of the
game. Is that still an annoying game that pisses everybody off?
Yeah. If you like force motion controls, then yeah, you'll like.
You can't play it in handheld mode, apparently, that's the thing. Huh? You can't play it in handheld mode in any way, it has to be on the TV.
What?
Wow. So, right, what about the other, when they have the two Switch things like next to each other?
Yeah.
So that was...
Isn't there other game modes to it, in the full release, I imagine?
I can't play in handheld mode.
That's just weird.
I have learned.
Nintendo had a massive stand there, even bigger than last year in the end.
Yeah, they have a massive stand, but not many stalls. That's my issue with Nintendo every year. Like, for example, I really wanted to give, what was it? The Travis Strikes Back, New World Heroes game. There's one stall.
Yeah, it's always like that there.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, especially just coming for the Saturday, that was the hard part today. I find it really hard to go on any games anywhere.
I think they're missing a beat. They should have a shop there. Because I would have bought Mario Party today. If it had a shop there.
Really?
It looks like lots of fun for the kids. It really does.
They should have shops.
Yeah.
I can't see it, man.
There used to be a game, didn't there, in the early days?
It's an Argos now.
It's an Argos instead.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing you can say about Nintendo for the whole show is the developers that we talked to, most of them said, we're on Switch or we're coming to Switch.
It's always my first question if I find a game I like.
That's the place to be.
Yeah.
And seeing things like Diablo on the Switch there, I played Diablo to death, but wow, that little piece of hardware running Diablo 3, running the full thing, and it looks fabulous. Do you think of the cardboard stuff?
Not interesting. There's a lot of that there. I know 4 people that bought it, and all of them have now recycled that cardboard, because it takes too much space up. So.
Yeah, that's probably the problem.
I saw was a lot of kids holding the steering wheel and really into it, but,
I don't think it was made for us, though.
I still think that experience that you have with your kid making that thing and then playing it afterwards, even if it's like 5 hours worth of your day or whatever, that's well worth it for what it is. And then you've been it, great, you've had that time. You know, you play a video game.
Yeah, but is it worth 40 quid to bin it?
Well, there's some games you play for 5 hours and then that's it anyway, isn't it? You don't go back to it.
Should I go to the Labo stand and burn it?
Yeah, set it on fire.
Yeah, I've spent 40 quid on games before and never played them, so.
Just go around the recycling then.
Yeah.
At least that looks
good. I realised it was all as big as it was today.
What,
I saw this kid trying this cardboard
and
it nearly killed him. I thought it was just all miniature stuff.
I
just have to state at this point that the VG Hub does not condone arson in any way, shape or form. Burning down the Nintendo stand is not something that we want.
The veteran gamers are awful. This PC nonsense, Robert.
All right, Stu Farler.
Yes,
the man himself.
Yeah, what I liked was a game called The Dark Pictures Man of Medan.
I forgot I played that.
I thought it was pretty impressive, actually. I really liked Until Dawn. I liked Supermassive. I think he made really cool games. It wasn't the best demo, but it was kind of cool, and you were in this sort of creaky old ship and there were dead bodies around and jump scares and stuff
lovely.
Going on.
Yeah, it did look like Until Dawn, very much and that stuff.
It was very much the same, but yeah, I thought that was really good, and I played that first and there was just nobody playing it. It was just, there was like two people sat down and there was spaces and stuff, so I just sat down and played it.
I know what you like the most.
Well,
somebody coming up to you going, are you Stuart?
Did that happen?
Oh my god, it's
totally
random.
The
real
Stuart Fowler. Someone who listens to the podcast just came up and went, Stu!
And no, he said, are you Stuart?
No, he didn't.
She said, do you want to touch me?
And you said,
and it was
fucking am.
Yeah,
fucking
first time that's ever happened, it was a bit weird.
I think that's just awesome, man.
Rock and roll,
it
man.
Happened.
Rock and roll.
Awesome.
Did you get a job?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Andy? But yeah, Man of Medan, I thought that was pretty good. It's pretty good. I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know whether it's chapters or... Because there was nobody there to talk about that. There was no people manning it. It was just kind of sit down.
I suppose you didn't pick that fucking nipple game or whatever.
Yeah, I did think about that, but I thought I'd try and go with something slightly more mainstream. But yeah, Nippon Marathon, that was great. So yeah, that's the only one that was great.
Weird.
It was weird.
It was weird, but a lot of fun.
It was like a running racing game, but they had...
It was like Total Wipeout, but Japanese game
like
show.
Warcraft Machines and Total Wipeout.
Yeah. You're four of you on the screen trying to get...
But you were like crazy physics, fantasy physics.
Yeah.
And terrible dialogue.
Ragdoll, really falling into waterfalls and shit. Yeah.
All right, cool. Chris?
I would probably talk about Valfaris, which I didn't get to play. And I queued for ages and it looked great. It looked like a Contra... sort of Turrican type side-scrolling pixel art thing. The guy said that all the artwork was done on 3D. They did 3D models and flattened the image and to get the effect, and it looked really cool. But I didn't get to play it, so I'm going to talk about what I did play, which was called Million to One Hero, which is another pixel. You know, I like my old shit. It's a side-scrolling sort of hack and slash thing. It's a little bit Super Meat Boy. So you're running and jumping off wall jumping and that sort of thing, but you got a sword. But the little trick to it, I mean, it felt really good to play to starters, like Super Meat Boy does, and killing stuff felt great. But the guys designed it in such a way that it's kind of like Mario Maker, in that there's a full campaign with it, and there's a story, you know, there's massive bosses and whatnot. But then they've designed it so that you can design and build your own levels and design and build your own game, and you can share them online. You can share the levels themselves, or you can build basically an entire game with its own story, and you can share that too. And it felt really good. It's a really nice, tight little platformer. And it is coming to Switch, because he said that's the ideal platform for sort of designing levels and stuff, because you've got the touchscreen. So that's the definite go for them. And yeah, it was a sweet little game. It feels very tight, like Celeste does. You know, when it looks similar to Celeste in its sort of complexity, but the sort of running and jumping and swinging the sword, it all felt really nice and tight. And yeah, to have sort of an infinite amount of that game and to see what people come up with, like Chinny was saying, it's quite interesting to see. I mean, sometimes the developers aren't the best people to come up with stories and that sort of thing. You know, the public can do that, and as long as the game has a good way of sorting through the wheat from the chaff, as it were, and getting the good stuff to come to the surface, then I think that would be a pretty sweet little game.
Right, cool, excellent. So everybody's had a game, it's all different, so there is actually stuff here to see, and there is stuff that's coming out.
We're all talking about indie games.
Yeah. Well, the big games that are here are Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I don't know if anybody has dabbled in it yet.
I'll probably play it tomorrow before I go.
Hitman.
I didn't even know that was it.
Yeah,
I fucking love Hitman.
It's got a tiny box on the edge of PlayStation.
The Last of Us 2?
No, not
The Last of Us.
The Last of Us 2? Oh, look.
No, that would be a killer. You're talking about when
shit.
Was that?
No. No, no, the American thing. What do you call it?
Give us a...
Damn it. Yo, bitch. What? Yo.
Get out the way.
I'm from California.
Yo.
Life is strange too.
Life is strange.
I would not have guessed that. Just say hello and I'd have been instant.
Yeah.
I wanted to play that, but
Life
just
is strange.
Didn't get to queue for it.
Call of Duty and what else big? Metro. But what else was there which was really big?
Not a lot.
Yes, that was big. Kingdom Hearts 3 was quite
Kingdom
big.
Hearts 3.
Yeah. I did play that, but.
A big deal for a lot of people.
Yeah.
The Division was there.
Manly Virgin.
Spyro.
Division 2,
Spyro,
of course, yeah.
I was talking about Spyro.
I didn't see anyone around
play Spyro.
I
didn't buy it anyway. Because
Division's out in like 2 weeks. So yeah, we're all talking about...
Yeah, Life is Strange 2's out next week.
We're all talking about indie games. Okay, what about the worst thing you've seen? Does anybody have any worst shouts of something really terrible or really, really off the wall weird? I played Beat Your Meat.
What?
This morning?
Is that with Dorian?
We all did.
I'd have to room at 6:30.
That was at 3 o'clock in the morning. That was.
I was gone by that time.
And Beat Your Meat is a little fighting brawler arena.
Too bad wanking off.
Right? Arena brawler with pigs.
What?
And your little
I did see this.
And your little pigs, and you run around and you have a hammer and you hit another pig. There's four pigs running around. And as you hit the hammer, sausages and ribs and other bits and pieces fall off the pigs. And you run over these other bits of meat and ribs and you get bigger, like Osmo.
Oh, I see.
So all of a sudden you can be massive. Now you can decorate your pig or dress your pig as different characters.
Spider
like
pig.
spider pig or with a thong on or a Donald Trump pig, which is kind of weird.
Wow.
And that was fun. We played that with, I played with Phil this morning, so that was really off the wall, coming out in about a year.
Good off the wall.
Yeah, good off the wall.
Yeah, good off the wall.
And the worst thing that I seen was a thing called Astrologaster.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You can check that out tomorrow. You'll love it.
What the hell is that?
It looked like a PowerPoint game. The girl was sitting beside me.
Going, game
I wrote the dialogue and the humour. It's based on Shakespeare and astrology, and you decide on people's fates by looking at their stars.
Wow.
So there's a lot of bollocks there.
Yeah, absolutely.
That sounds like a Stew game. He's going to fucking love it.
No, I'm not going to hate that. I did play the weirdest game I think I've ever played at an EGX.
Welcome.
It was called Small Talk.
I saw that, but I didn't get time to play it.
It was just the weirdest game. So basically, it was very arty and surreal, and you go to a party in an apartment, and there's just random characters like with a fox head, or there was like a chicken that had seven heads but had human legs, and you basically go and talk to them, and then they give you this weird spiel, and then you go into the head, and then it's like a puzzle, like with a maze or something. It was just the weirdest thing. Yeah.
Are you sure that wasn't a dream?
It was like a dream. It was honestly like a dream, but it was called Small Talk. But yeah, check it out, because it's just the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
Another honourable mention is a game called Figment. Loved Figment. It's a very, very cute, cute game, little platformer, and it's coming out very, very soon on everything. I've got a copy of it to play.
All right.
They've given me a code for it.
Check it out.
And it's very all hand-drawn. Figment. Yo, look at
it's
it.
It's like Monty Python's.
Yeah, it looks that. It looks but beautifully hand-drawn. Just lovely. So you need to look it up, because the art style is very, very unique in it. Anything else that other people see?
Yeah, there's a game that Chris just reminded me of.
I took a photo of it so I'd remember, but I accidentally left out the name. Just got a great picture of the artwork.
All right, well, Eagle something.
It looked like Owlboy.
Eagle Island.
Oh yeah, that was towards the end. Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah, where you could take control of this eagle, and you can use when you do your double jump. You sort of jump off the eagle's head, and then you can also throw him at things. Like in midair, you can sort of choose where you're going to throw this eagle at people. And it seems a little bit cruel.
It's a roguelike, isn't it? So it's spelunky.
Oh, is it really? I didn't catch that it was
so
a roguelike.
It's easily generated. It's rock hard.
You had me, then you lost me.
Yeah. So it's that. See, I don't really like procedurally.
Yeah. I didn't get that impression when I played it, to be honest. But then I only played a little, like 5 minutes of it. So
it's it's like Owlboy, but with like the spelunky like levels kind of thing.
It felt good. It was a nice little platformer. It looked nice.
I mean, it does. We mentioned Owlboy as a developer.
Yeah. Right. That's probably that they've heard all day.
And I was like, I feel a bit sorry for him because it fucking looks like Owlboy.
Yeah. Owlboy came out sooner. Better.
How old were you in development for 9 years as well? So he's way in development.
And Stu interviewed him on the podcast, and he went, "Have you ever played Celeste?" Like, he's here to promote his game. All right.
No, but you did. No, I didn't. No, I didn't. He said, "Is it?" No,
have you
I
ever
didn't.
Played Celeste?
I asked him, "Is it as hard as Celeste?"
No, you,
I
the first time you said,
"Yeah, well,
you
I played it. Is it as hard as it?" I was trying to gauge the difficulty level. That's all. That's all I was doing.
So, what do you like to do on your
These game developers play games. They're like us. They play other games. They don't go, "Oh, I don't play."
Proper, so what you're saying is it's like Owlboy, but it's not as good.
It's,
and that's what you said.
It's like Owlboy, but the levels are random, and he's kind of like boasting how hard it is. And I'm sure it's very hard, and people do like that kind of stuff. But it's not.
I cop the feel. It's pretty tough.
Penis jokes. So the
we're not had enough.
I don't know. Not for me. I don't think it's for you either, Chris, is it?
Well, no. I came away thinking it was good until you told me that it was procedure generated and roguelike, and now I'm better.
That's the problem. If it was like proper levels, then
fucking hell.
Right.
Just spend a bit of time creating your levels, people.
Yeah. I did play another weird game that I really liked and thought was really great. And there was a couple of stands where they had student games, so there were uni students that had come to show off stuff that they'd made. And there was a guy there who made a game called Misfolded. Did anyone see this, Misfolded?
No.
And basically, he used to be a neuroscientist and worked as a doctor in a hospital. Had a really, really good job.
You had mentioned this to me.
Yeah, and gave that up to become a game developer.
I think he probably killed someone and had a...
Yeah, maybe. So he gave up his job.
He sneezed into his brain.
And he was such a nice guy. And the game he's made, it's kind of this character made out of polygons, but had like these really expressive eyes. So that's what it looked like. So it had these huge, sort of massive black eyes that were really expressive, and it was basically it was a bit like the Hug Me. because basically this character gets shunned by the society that he lives in. They put him in a cage and throw him down a hole because he can't sing properly and the flowers keep dying.
Seems a bit weird.
It was very weird, but it was what I was really impressed with was the amount of emotion that he managed to wring out of these really low res polygons.
Would anyone like more pizza?
I just did that without telling the entire audience, but well done.
Well, yeah, no, I thought that was really, really great for a little indie game that some university student has made and brought and shown off at the show. Yeah, it was the first time anyone had ever seen it.
That's, what is it called? Was it Razor Wire or something? That Razor Zone or whatever it was. There were a lot of students there.
Yeah.
And one thing is that whole indie section and even the student sections, even left field, the quality of stuff is just getting better and better each year. It's just following the tools that are out there for people.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So, a lot of indie games, not so much big games, lots of board games, lots of merch to buy, lots of retro games, lots of people.
Lots of cosplayers, as usual.
Okay, so let's talk a wee bit about last night. So last night, last year, go back, blah, 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 we went to a burrito bar, Mission Burrito, just around the corner from here, which sadly closed its premises. And we had this beautiful little upstairs room, which was our little room.
Our little nerd room.
It was great.
We could be nerds and be free.
And this year, and there was about 10 or 12 people last year, and last night there was 25 odd people turned up for...
That's a lot of people.
Yeah. And a restaurant. Yes, we had one big long table, but it was... The idea was that we were going to eat and then play some games, but it was too noisy. It wasn't the right place. But... all that aside, next year I think we're going to make it a bit bigger again, and we're going to put a wee bit of effort into getting somewhere that's good.
But we've got to put it like you mean me.
Or I can come over and recce as well. We can do it together.
Yeah, recce? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, well, Chris, we already discussed this.
We'll do some restaurant crawls. We'll cross Birmingham until we find the right place.
I know, I knew as well. So we'll go for
a
drive.
It's like a pub crawl, but just eating.
Pub crawl, we're looking for a room.
Yeah, this bar's the best bar. Yeah.
Anyway, look, so we had great Latin food, some Mexican burritos.
Fantastic.
I had way, as per usual, way too many cocktails. But the crack was mighty. We had people there.
The crack was mighty.
Yeah, and there was people like Dave and his wife, Emma, were there. And who else was there that hadn't been there before as well?
Dorian was there.
Dorian, of course. Parsnip Nose from America. The first time he's ever been at an EGX.
Yeah.
The first time he's ever slept with me.
Yeah.
Which,
I've not even done that yet.
Have you not?
Mm. I have.
Several people at this table have.
Everybody has slept with
me. That's why Coyle's so quiet.
He's very easy.
I mean, at least four people at this table have slept with me.
At the same time.
We've been Scott, but I've still come back.
But it was brilliant.
Sex jokes.
It was, so there was lots and lots of folk at that. It was a good night's fun.
Not really gay, this is just like a laugh. I have actually seen Bongo's penis.
He videoed it last year.
Huge. Anyway, what did you say?
So, look, it was good fun. And it was...
it was good. I enjoyed it. And you know, room aside, it was fucking... It was class. And to paint a bigger picture here, like, I've met loads of people this year that I haven't, met. Like, I met Greg, and you've met Greg last year.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I met Armar, and all this sort of stuff. And
You met Duke,
obviously.
Let's do the face.
Yeah. So, like, you know, and you think, like, it's just this stupid show that we made, and it's this stupid show that you made, and it's like, fucking hell, what are we doing? And we all meet up, and now we're friends, and I consider you all...
We are friends, it's good, yeah.
Yeah, except for one of us. I just wanted to leave a mystery. But you know, it's just like this little thing that we started, and really, video games are the last thing we talk about now. And it's cool. And like I said, like EGX is the excuse that we use to get together. But really, we all just want to chat and you lot get drunk, and that's what we all do.
Pretty much.
And then my brother's here.
Yeah. And your brother's here.
Your brother's joined us.
Derek Sines is here. Your friend Andy is here. There's the tap man was down. There's so many different people this year.
Katie.
Lewis. Katie.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Lewis Danson is his birthday. Happy birthday, Lewis. Yeah. It's your birthday today.
It's always his birthday on EGX.
So, fantastic. And again, it's been good that way. That's been a good social thing.
I really enjoyed it last night. It was just a bit too cool of a place.
Yeah, it wasn't grungy.
Do you know what I mean? Like the people, I was like, I don't want to get my Switch in for these cool people.
Yeah, yeah,
I know. I had to have a couple more drinks just so that I could get to the stage where I could get my Switch.
And then we came back to this hotel.
I whipped that out anyway.
Yeah. Well, we came back to this hotel and organising a Mario Kart game was like organising a fucking world war.
Like, so many options. We needed Antonio. Like, Antonio's the man. He knows how this shit works.
And it made no difference because Antonio won anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I know.
Yeah,
he's young. He's got his reflexes. They'll go.
I was probably the most tired out of all of them.
Yeah, they'll go.
Most tired, just lay on tired.
So we're going to wrap this up very, very soon. But we are going out to MLGX, which is the Midlife Gamer After Party,
Sausage Party,
the Sausage Fest, Roxanne, and yeah, that should be a good night. Hopefully, I think we're all feeling a bit tired and flat.
Yeah,
I know. Kyle and myself had an awful lot to drink yesterday.
Yeah, I didn't have much sleep because I slept on a concrete floor.
Me, Stu, and Pete didn't have a lot of sleep because I have to drive back. It's about an hour drive.
Yeah, well, I slept in the car. What are you talking about?
When I pulled outside of my house, right, Stu woke up and he went, "Where's Pete?" And I dropped him off like 15 minutes ago.
Where's Pete?
And he went, "Where are we?" I was like, "We're at my house." I went to bed at 2:30, got up at 7:30, so like, yeah.
Yeah, you were up earlier than me, I only got up at 8:30.
So it's just like, ridiculous.
So we go out to that, they raise lots of money for charity. Over the years they've raised tens of thousands of pounds and they'll hopefully do more tonight again. They'll have some interesting stuff at auction and hopefully they'll have a few little surprises.
There's a quiz tonight.
So we want to get finished up here because we missed a wee bit at the start of it last year. So we're going to whiz off to it now.
Alright.
And go to the show tomorrow.
Yeah. Not me, I'm not going.
She's not going.
I'm not going. I'm not going. It's family time.
It'll be quality then. Yeah. And
what's
with you? Nice and quiet.
Yeah, I'm gonna think about board game tomorrow. Imagine that.
No, buy one.
Phil Olson.
Can you play board games? Yeah, like board games that you haven't tried.
Oh, wow.
Get Darren to show you.
Do that.
Get MLG.
Do that.
I've got a recommendation.
Tomorrow morning, there'll be loads of games there, and they'll have someone sit with you and take you through the rules and all that sort of stuff.
I was going to say,
when to make yourself look really stupid. Entry.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's a date. Let's play board games. Let's get into the deeper level of
nerddom.
Nerddom.
Yeah,
nerddom.
Chris.
Come on.
Yeah, but you want to hear me talk about how shit it is, though.
Forbidden Island is a good one. Forbidden Island.
Escape from Coldlands is a very good gift.
Yeah.
Scrabble.
Looking for a nerdy game, it's not that difficult to get to pick up and play.
What about Scribble Scramble? Have they got Scribble Scramble?
I fucking love Scribble Scramble.
Scribble Scramble. Is that the one you had to build the thing?
You had to press it and
the buttons and move it across the wobbly table and over the.
Maybe that's what I should do for the video. I'll just walk around the board game section going, have you got Scribble Scramble?
I think Ghost Castle was the other one we loved, wasn't it, as kids?
Oh, yeah. That's why I saw the advert for that. I always wanted that. Never had it.
Yeah. Remember Nightmare as well, and you had a VHS tape. You used to put the tape in, and it'd be like, oh, move to
press
this, and you'd be like, oh shit, and then you'd have to like write your nightmares there and everything. Yeah. My dad's nightmare, I always remember my dad's nightmare is there's no more pubs anymore, which is coming true.
Nightmare is?
What?
My biggest nightmare is having to wear my wife's clothes for a whole day.
Oh, bonga.
So you do it every weekly just to try and keep it.
Pete, that's on Pete's bucket list.
Yeah. And he's done it.
Yeah, I wore my wife's clothes. You did it,
Buzzard!
You've done it,
yeah?
No. Am I?
He's tried it out. He
tries it out every
Have you seen something?
He's made the demo.
Yeah. I thought you said you did it.
In Wolverhampton.
No. You did a day in Charles' clothes.
No, that's one thing on the bucket list.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, right, let's wrap this thing up. Pete, thank you very much for here. Joshua, thank you for pressing buttons. Andy, good lad. They'll catch you on the app, won't they? The app podcast. Yep. Mike, veteran gamers, thank you very much. Antonio on the app. Kyle, on the Entertain Nerds, bless your heart.
Bless
your heart. With Antonio, Stu Feiler from Veteran Gamers, and Chris from the Boss Wave podcast.
Boss Wave.
And myself, Robin Tate from the Overseas Connection podcast.
This is the first that Robin Brown has a video.
I know.
Very funny story about Robin Brown. Right, really? So there was a WhatsApp chat group set up for EGX.
Okay.
And Chris had created, he was the admin.
Like 3 years ago or something.
Okay,
that's it. The one that I'm in.
EGX 2018. So I, on the plane, coming off the plane yesterday morning, I went, yo, bitches, here we go.
Yeah.
And the next thing that happened was Robin Brown left. So thanks, Robin, for saying hello.
He knows he's missing out. He doesn't want to see us having fun.
I miss Robin.
Poor fucker. Yeah, we missed you, Rob. Yeah.
Like, is
missed you, Pilch, as well. And but oh, we didn't mention Phil, because how good was it seeing Phil? Shout out to Phil.
I love Phil.
Filthy?
Even though he's hanging on to that vegan thing, I still love him.
Yeah, I know. No, everyone's perfect.
I eat meat around him just to annoy him.
Yeah, we were watching those a game actually in Mario Party today. Phil and I were standing watching, and it's a mini game that you get a frying pan and a little block of meat, and you have to toss the pan to brown the meat.
Yeah.
Sorry, Phil, while we're watching this here, it's really bad meat. It's not meat, it's tofu. Anyway,
Derek Sines was in.
Derek Sines, yep, lots of people. Lots
we
of
didn't
people.
See Nat somehow.
I saw
Nat
here.
Oh,
about 1 PM leaving.
Okay.
You got there at 11, this kid wanted to leave by 2. So
big shout out to iPete and his Castronauts. Check that out. Listen back, go on to search and check out the stuff at CGX. If you can't get here now, you can't, it's almost too late. But come here next year. And if you even can't come to the show, come for the Friday night do or the Saturday night do.
Yeah, Mark Annix did.
Yeah, so Mark came down just for he was at the show yesterday and just came for the meal last night on his way home. Miss you, Mark, and Jay, his son. So, yeah, it's worth doing because it's fun.
It's fun.
It is fun.
So everybody's welcome.
If you think we all sound like a bunch of insufferable wankers, I wouldn't bother coming.
No.
Yeah. If you can suffer insufferable wankers, come along.
Come along.
And if you're not worried where you want to stay, you can stay with me.
Everybody stays with Robin, it's fine.
He's going to need to get a family room next year.
So that's it. We're off to the party now. Thank you very, very much for listening. This is going to go out on every feed on earth. Mark Annix will edit this tomorrow and fire it out to everybody involved. So thank you very much, and we will see you all at our respective podcast days this time next week. Just a quick note. The Veteran Gamers podcast will probably be published far faster than it ever is published before because it's been done. Anyway, thanks, guys. Let's go and have a good night. Thank you very much for doing this. And thanks for the hotel for breaking all your rules.
Fuck the hotel.
Peace out. Peace out. Goodbye, everyone.
Love you, bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.